The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that made Ralph Macchio the world's biggest superstar for about 6 months.
The movie about a totally plutonic, not weird at all relationship between an elderly Japanese man and a supple, skinny, just beautiful young teenage boy. It's not weird.
The movie with so many feet shots, you'd think it was directed by Quentin Tarantino.
This is The Karate Kid on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Try to be best, cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one.
Hey, Blockheads, welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast that's counting down the top grossing movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Andin.
I'm Wallace Book.
Hey, Wallace, thank you for joining us.
New what up, dogs?
Yeah, we've been trying to get Wallace on here for a long time.
Yeah, busy motherfucker.
Yeah, he's a busy motherfucker. Yeah.
But finally, he had to break down for this 1984 classic about... kicking people in the face.
It was the microwave pizza, really.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
we
it.
Did offer frozen pizza. Yeah. If you're lucky enough to be a guest on the show, you'll be offered frozen pizza and very cheap beer.
Yeah, that's all you get, though. That's it. And then a lot of, you know, our company. That means something, right? Friends. We're friends.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're very fun people to hang out with. That's what all of the people that I have tied up in my basement say.
Yeah, every single last
if
one.
If they know what's good for them.
We've all been drunk enough to have seen each other's penises awkwardly.
So yeah, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't in take Vegas. That much alcohol.
Yeah, it was in Vegas, so we're good.
Yeah. Just flaccid, mushy penises.
You pee out of that? That's awesome.
It's not gay because none of us were hard. Like, it was just nudity, you know? It's not gay.
Yeah.
We're friends.
No, totally, totally normal.
It's totally normal.
Just like the relationship in this movie.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it because...
So back in 1984, this movie brought in $90,815,000 fucking dollars.
$90 million. Yeah, it made a lot of money. And as you said, Ralph Macchio, huge star.
Never did Pat anything Morita, big ever again.
Pat Morita, a comedian, actor, long time, Happy Days, all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Nominated for Best Supporting Oscar. Yeah, Best Supporting Oscar. Actor. Yeah.
Also, never did anything else ever again. Like, at least
except
was
for
the only
a lot
one.
Of other things.
Well, yeah, but really memorable shit.
Yeah, it was
Ralph
a lot of,
Macchio,
a lot
Pat
of side
Morita.
Roles.
You got anything after the fucking Karate Kid that you can like, I remember that Pat Morita part.
Yeah, that's true. It was a lot of background. Yeah. Background stuff.
Same thing with Ralph Macchio. Cameos. Elizabeth Shue is the only one that made it out, man.
Well, and with good reason.
Yeah, yeah, super hot.
She is super hot.
This also like follows that 1980s trend of like weird old dudes taking young like awkward kids under their wing, like Back to the Future.
Sure,
Empire Strikes Back. Yeah,
yeah.
Again, the weird old dude we're talking about, like Book had mentioned, was fucking Yoda.
Yeah, yeah. Pat Morita's, actually in both.
He's the Asian Yoda.
Yeah. Yeah. He really is. I'm surprised that Ralph Macchio never tied him to his fucking back and ran around a swamp with him.
That's a good point.
He's
I
too
feel
cool
like he's
for
small
it.
Enough that yeah. that could work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he talks like with a crazy accent too.
Yeah. With, that's a weird, accent. Not his real accent at all. He could speak perfect English.
Yeah, like you said, in Happy Days, right? He was like a normal sounding fucking dude.
Yeah, he did stand up.
Cook in that show,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I think he was either like the cook, or he ran like the diner. Yeah, he maybe a waiter. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen Happy Days. Yeah. I'm very old.
Yeah, me too. No, I sort of watched the original Happy Days, and yeah, I haven't gotten to the part where he's actually introduced. But
anyways. Is it cool? Is it cool going back and watching old Happy Days?
Well, it's interesting because the original Happy Days, the first season. A lot of the catchphrases and shit didn't actually happen until the second season.
Yeah, like none of the, hey.
So Fonz, you know, the Fonz was still cool, but he was not like, you know, he didn't have any of his catchphrases. And
yeah.
It was weird. He didn't always have chicks around him. So, yeah, he was just working on cars.
That's funny if he was just like an awkward little Jewish dude the first season. And then the second season, they're like,
no, you're super cool now.
He's like, okay.
Sweet.
We'll see. If I can always wanted to be super cool.
Yeah. Hey, think you'll make it through the rest of it? How many seasons was the fucking Happy Days?
78.
Yeah. It ran forever.
Yeah. It's still on.
Yeah. It is still continuing. Yeah.
To this day, they're making... Henry Winkler's making new episodes. No one's seen them but Henry Winkler. But there are episodes being made.
Yeah.
He's so adorable.
He is. I met him one time. He was a cool fucking guy.
Yeah, he seems like it.
Yeah, he's super short too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Small guy.
Maybe it's because he's old. Maybe
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah,
maybe just everyone. Happened. Everyone on that show must have been short.
Yeah, maybe.
That's how tall is Ron Howard?
Yeah. Ron Howard's got to be short.
Yeah, he's got to be pretty short. Everybody seemed the same height in that movie.
Yeah, show. Yeah, they're all like 5'7".
Except for Pat Morita, who was like 5'2".
Who's like 5'3". Yeah,
yeah. So
he gets nominated for an Academy Award for this movie. Namely because there's one scene where he breaks down. He's very, very drunk. It's the anniversary of his wife and unborn child's death.
Yeah.
And kind of breaks down about it. And it also, you get a little bit of a history lesson.
Yeah. Yeah.
And feels. We get some feels.
You get some feels. You get a little history lesson. You get to feel a little guilt, I guess.
Yeah. We all have to feel bad about what we did to the Japanese during that time.
Which, I mean... We weren't alive, so we didn't really do anything.
I
don't feel bad about that.
I wasn't a part of that. I was born in Mexico. I had nothing to do with that shit.
I wasn't born until like 40 years after that. What the fuck do I know?
I guess this is a movie that really starts off about... And I think that's the genius of this movie. I think that's one of the best things about this movie is that it really starts off about a kid trying to get laid. And then it turns into like, oh no, like friendship and self-worth and stuff is what really matters.
But also that leads you to getting laid.
Yeah, so he gets laid. Exactly. Yeah. You learn that really the getting laid part. And actually, we talked about this, but getting the car gets you laid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. He didn't get laid until he got the car. Yeah. So
he didn't make out hard until he had the car.
Oh, yeah.
I guess meet a rich old man that will give you a car is really the lesson you should be taking away from this movie. Yeah. Here I was practicing crane kicks when I should have been out practicing being nice to old people.
Yeah. As kids, when we watched this movie, we took the wrong lesson from it.
Yeah.
It wasn't learning how to fight karate. It was befriending an old rich guy.
Yeah. Yeah. That really is the lesson here.
Waxing his cars and whatnot.
There's a reason why I was trying to paint so many fences when I was just like 6.
Yeah. Well, what a good job I'm doing. Give me your car.
You have any Japanese Give Sanders?
Give me your car.
Yeah. Hey, are you Japanese? You got any chores you want me to do in exchange for a car? For one 1944
car? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Get out of here, kid. Nah, rats.
Rats foiled
again. Get out of here, you.
So Ralph Macchio, he moves to L.A. from New Jersey. He clearly thinks that Jersey is the best fucking place in the world.
Which... First of all, nobody that has ever moved from Jersey to L.A. has been like, oh, it sucks out here. It's 75 degrees constantly and everything's clean and all the women are pretty. Oh, how I wish this was Jersey.
I wish they're like part of the Sopranos, you know, then because they were okay.
Then you're living it up. Yeah.
Then you're living it up. Yeah, but he was not. He definitely was not. Unless that's his tragic backstory. He was actually like, because we never see his father. That's was true. His father Tony Soprano? Yes. Yes, his father was definitely Tony Soprano.
One James Gandolfini.
Yeah. Cut from the movie, tragically. Yeah. He's in the director's cut, if you track that down. Yeah.
And then a few years later, like Ralph Macchio gets in trouble and then, you know, gets a fancy lawyer.
Exactly. Shows up to help out? Tony Soprano.
I would say it goes a little bit
He accidentally kills Johnny in a fight.
And he shows up on the news, and then fucking his dad sees him on
exactly.
the news.
Exactly, so then he's going to show up.
Yeah. There's a show, so he didn't kill Johnny. Maybe it was his son.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. He can't kill him. Yeah. That's true.
That's new continuity. The original director's cut did not have that.
Would be robbers, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes to a convenience store.
Could it be? Because we don't see Elizabeth Shue's not in the new show. Could he have accidentally killed Elizabeth Shue?
Just accidentally kicks her face.
Well, he's a living weapon.
Well, no, in the second movie, right at the beginning of the second movie, they break up.
That's true, because he has the Japanese girlfriend in the second movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So but maybe when he comes back, you know, settles back down in California, maybe they reconnect, they start talking.
That booty, though. Titties. Yeah. Though, you know?
I mean, it's Elizabeth Shue. Come on now.
Fucking 1984 through 1995, Elizabeth Shue is pretty
untouchable, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit's fucking great. Also, that's a funny device. They're like, we want to send him to Japan now, But what do we do in Japan? Well, he's got to have like a love interest. But what about those with you? And that breaks up with her. That's
yeah,
it.
It's done. It's the same thing they do in every Bond and every Batman movie. What happened to the last girl? It's done. It's done now. Yeah. They're done.
It's over with now. We got a new thing now.
Yeah. Nicole Kidman? No. We're on to a new thing. So speaking of director's cut, the director of this movie did a little film you might know.
Yeah, when John called
Motherfucking Rocky.
Also, Rocky V.
Also Rocky V, but let's talk about Rocky. let's just move on past that.
He did the best and the worst Rocky.
Yeah, actually, you're right. Oh, he did the best and worst Rocky, yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to do anything in the middle, dude.
Although I will.
All of the really good Rocky best or the and really worst. Bad Rocky.
I don't ride middles. Best and worst.
I don't mediocre this shit.
Yeah. Although I will ride for Rocky V. Rocky V is not as bad as people make it out to be.
No, it's not.
I mean, it is the worst Rocky. Yeah, Tommy Gunn cannot act to save his life. Neither can the kid that's playing Stallone's son, which I believe is Stallone's son.
Yeah, that was his actual son, right?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, pretty sure.
I think so, yeah. You got to recast that, man. You can't just put your kid. Yeah, you can't just put your kid. He fucking sucks.
Yeah. John Wayne made the same mistake. You get to a certain point, you think you can do. Will Smith made the same mistake. Yeah. You think you can do anything. Yeah. You can't. Your kids. They're not good.
Kid is stupid.
Your kids, Marty.
Yeah, your kid's growing up rich already.
Like, yeah. No, he doesn't care. He has no drive. He doesn't know the eye of the tiger.
You know, I kind of like theorize right now that I think Ralph Macchio's character is the same from Outsiders, the Karate Kid, and then the My Cousin Vinny.
Oh shit, that's right. All right, so
that tracks. Yeah. So after Tony Soprano finds him again, he brings him back in. Yeah. That's how he develops the accent and the whole connections for My Cousin Vinny.
That's how he
meets Joe Pesci. Oh, this is your cousin Joe Pesci. Yeah.
They're all named Vinny and Paulie.
Exactly.
So how does he go from Outsiders into
time travel?
Did he die in Outsiders?
Yeah,
I don't remember,
but
The Outsiders is in the 50s, right?
time travels.
Yeah, well, you know.
Right,
yeah.
What if that's his dad?
No, but his dad's Tony Soprano.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's an old Tony Soprano.
Yeah, was Tony Soprano originally a greaser that then moved to Jersey and got mobbed up?
It could be like Burns the brother. Like he could be the brother of Tony Soprano.
Or maybe that's that he didn't chick. Actually that's die. True. It was all to fake. To get the cops off his trail.
We're just theorizing how to make this fucking thing. Just let it go. It's just Ralph Macchio shit.
But then after this, he goes on to My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
In
Crossroads.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's Crossroads. Yeah. All right. Crossroads. So we jumped. He had a good career.
Yeah, he had a run.
That's it, though.
Yeah.
And now everything after that has been.
It's just parodies of Karate Kid.
Karate Kid tongue in cheek bullshit.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of. Talks about how awesome he is as a person.
Yeah.
Like, all-around nice guy, Ralph Macchio. He's, like, a super approachable guy. You can walk up to him. He'll take pictures with you and shit. And he'll get on the roller coaster with you, I guess. I don't know. I don't know where you meet Ralph Macchio. I assume Disneyland is one of
those.
I just want
to play soccer with me.
That's yeah, all. Yeah, yeah. On the beach.
with short shorts.
Very, very girly shorts.
Yeah.
Which
and you will swoon. You will swoon. Just like Elizabeth Shue.
He's also 22 years old in this, which he looks fucking 15 in it.
Yeah, he looks super young.
Yeah, and he gets his driver's permit, so he's got to be like 16, right? 16, 17?
He gets sick. So he turns 16 in the movie.
So he's 15?
Yeah.
Damn.
I think so, right? Isn't that what he's talking about when Pat Morita gives him the car? It's his 16th birthday, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. He does have a birthday. With his mom not there.
His mom's mom, not there.
His mom is the fucking worst mom.
A lot of the movies.
First of all, the first time they move, so they're moving from New Jersey to this place.
Yes.
Rob Macho right away makes a cool friend who has an awesome t-shirt of two pigs fucking that says making bacon on it.
Yeah.
Which we were cool all guy. A fan of. Yeah, exactly.
It's too bad he almost immediately bows out.
Yeah, right away. But they go to the beach and they fucking he's having a good time. And then he meets Elizabeth Shue. And starts wanting to hit it. You know, he starts working on it.
Of course, yeah. And he's actually...
doing really well.
Give it up to the guy.
He's a suave motherfucker.
He is a suave motherfucker.
Kicking ass when all of a sudden these fucking douchebags show up.
Riding dirt bikes on the beach. Which, first of all, come on now.
Kicking up dirt and shit?
That sounds like a lot of fun. Let's do it. Let's go ride dirt bikes on the beach and kick sand in nerds' faces.
He also does an awesome thing, which is he goes up to his ex-girlfriend and breaks her radio. Like, what is the end result of that?
Wow. They'll get back together, clearly.
Yeah, I'm going to muscle my shit back into this relationship. Yeah, exactly.
If I break the radio, she'll know I'm serious about how much I love her.
Yeah, and she was bound to take me back.
Yeah.
You probably just hated the, you know, evil Beach Boys music.
That's true,
there is a weird, like, Beach Boys knockoff song that is...
It's playing while
there's two of them. It is.
Bordering on copyright infringement.
Yeah, because the first one's while they're playing soccer.
Yeah, and it's all, like, happy, like, good Beach Boys, and the next one's, like... Evil Beach Boys.
Yeah. Like that sad, gothy Beach Boys.
Nega Beach Boys.
Yeah. And that's when the bad guys show up.
Negasonic Teenage Beach Boys.
Not bad.
It's pretty good. Speaking of music, the composer for this movie as well, Bill Conti, also did not just the first and not just the best and worst Rockies, but all the Rockies, as well as many, many other movies, including... For Your Eyes Only, which we've talked about.
Yeah. And Mr. Mom, right? Which we also
And Mr.
About.
Mom, which we talked about. Yeah. And a bunch of other Stallone stuff. Did Lock Up, did Paradise Alley.
It just works for Stallone.
This guy's a Stallone guy, which means he's my guy. Stallone. Yeah. Which means Bill Conti, you are welcome on this podcast anytime. Let me check and see if he's dead.
Yeah.
Nope, still alive. You are welcome on this podcast anytime, Bill Conti.
He did that Hulk Hogan movie too, right?
Oh, which one?
Suburban Commando?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or No Holds Bar.
Or Mr. Nanny. Or
Mr. Yeah. Nanny.
That's Mr. Right. Nanny. Oh,
yeah, that's good.
Because they all sound the same. At the
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
Mr. Nanny. Who'd have thought Hulk Hogan taking care of children?
Weird thing. Yeah. Ridiculous. I mean, he's a ridiculous, huge monster guy. How can he take care of children?
He can't take care of kids. He's all about testosterone and fighting Zeus. And,
right.
And picking up Andre the Giant. Exactly. That's all he does.
He just body slams
Andre
being
racist
the Giant.
To his daughter.
Yeah. Being super weird and fucking racist around his daughter.
Look, he had to fight Zeus a lot. All right.
Some racism comes from that. No, so I'm just saying I've only really crossed paths with one black guy.
and we fought every single time. Yeah. It's not
and
cool.
He was always just fighting
me. He was always just punching me. So also interesting, on the DVD, at least this version of the DVD for Karate Kid, there are three trailers available to you.
Yeah.
The trailer for Karate Kid makes sense. The trailer for Karate Kid 2 also makes sense.
And pretty good.
And would you're imagining I'm about to say Karate Kid 3, and that's where you'd be wrong.
There's fucking three ninjas at Magic Mountain or some stupid shit.
Yeah. And what is this Three Ninjas movie? It is obviously not the first or second Three Ninjas movie. No. So it would be Three Ninjas and Three Ninjas Kick Back.
And again, it's all different kids again.
Yes, of course, all different kids. But who else is in this movie? One, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
As well as Jim Varney, a.k.a. Ernest.
Ernest.
Yeah.
I don't know
how I didn't see this movie. It sounds like the best movie ever.
Yeah. There was a lot of roller coasters in it, too.
Yeah. They appear to be at a fair the entire time. So you're taking four things kids love, ninjas, fairs, Hulk Hogan, and, of course, Jim Varney. Best movie ever.
Somebody like...
I've never seen it. I'm willing to bet best movie ever.
Ever?
After at least five whiskey diets.
Speaking of best movie ever, you know what else Bill Conti scored?
Go on.
Masters of the Universe.
Oh, shit.
The best movie ever.
Book, how do you feel about Masters of the Universe? Because
it's the movie that killed Kenan, right?
Basically, did it, though.
Because it was one of the last ones.
It's one of the last ones. Yeah. But I mean, Supergirl didn't do Kenan any favors either.
That was an expensive movie.
Yeah,
that was a terrible movie.
Superman
Quest for Peace did not do them any favors.
I just felt like really weird that as a He-Man fan that like
that it was on Earth and not Eternia most of the movie.
Well, that and like you grow up with these characters like I don't remember any of the names anymore.
Oh, you're talking about like Many Faces? Fisto, Many Faces, the tornado guy.
Or like just like the chick that
Beastman.
Tila?
No, Tila didn't look like Tila.
She-Ra.
But the villain girl.
Evil-Lyn,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted her to be hotter. Even when I was like 6 or 7.
Evil-Lyn was
like,
always
if
super
she's
hot.
She's going to be a movie, she's got to be super hot.
Evil-Lyn was very hot in the cartoon.
Yeah, she
was.
All that shit is in the fucking movie.
Yeah. No, she's in the movie. She's not bad.
Nothing that there's like three characters from the fucking toy line and the cartoon that are in the movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you get He-Man, you get Teela Man.
Aside from that, I still watched it a billion times.
Yeah, exactly. See? See?
There was 400 fucking He-Man characters. You could have picked any of those.
You can't get them all in the movie.
Not all of them.
You could have got like the
core ones. We had to get time for Courtney Cox.
We could have gotten that skunk one that smelled weird.
Yeah. If you had that toy, that was a weird smelling toy.
They totally made it so it smelled weird.
It was fucking hilarious. Yeah. But the one thing I took away from that movie... Every time I eat hot wings, I think about Teela freaking out about what's this white thing in the middle? And
it's it's a bone. It's bone. Yeah.
Man at arms all, it's bone. And I always think about it.
Every single time you eat hot wings?
Every time I eat hot wings. And I eat a lot of hot wings.
That's like 4 times a week.
That one scene runs in my head. And that's it. Nothing else.
Single time. Man. What are you thinking about? Ah, the scene.
Master of the Universe from 1987.
How many people are like, wow, he's thinking about that scene right now.
God, he's so deep when he's eating hot wings. Killed Cannon.
I
hope you're happy.
I mean, Cannon was no good to begin with, so come on. That's true. The only thing of value that was lost was movies with tons of tits in them.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, that's a lot of value.
That is. But also, luckily,
over the top, dude.
Oh, you're that's
good. Yeah, over the top.
The movie that was Kramer and Kramer, but with arm wrestling.
With arm wrestling, exactly.
Thank you, Norm MacDonald.
Yeah. Also, that movie that was remade with fucking robots and real steel.
That's right.
Yeah. That's 100% the same exact real fucking steel. Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't tell me over the top is shitty.
That's true. If you love real steel. Yeah, don't come at me with real steel unless you know about when I turn my hat around, I go from man to machine. Yeah.
That was a good impression there, buddy.
Thanks. I'm very good at impressions. Anyone who knows this podcast knows how good I am at impressions.
The two people that listen to this podcast
know how good I am at impressions.
I was always about Cobra, though, because of that 50 Mercury in it.
Cobra's the best. Cobra's the best. Yeah, that car, fucking fights with axes. Come on now.
Weird looking dude.
Yeah, that guy was fucking the bad guy.
The bad guy's super weird looking.
Yeah. And like you said, axes.
Yeah,
they're just a gang that fights with axes. Fucking does it. Badasses. That's who do that.
Yeah, because you know what? Crime. That's a disease.
Yeah.
Meet the cure.
Also,
I'm talking about Cobra.
Yeah. I totally thought that's what being a cop was like when I was a kid. I was like, you just go and shoot fuckers in the face. Yeah, all you got to do is like some smarmy remarks.
I think that's what a lot of cops thought cops were being like.
All they do
but speaking of Cobra Kai, the bad guys in this movie. So. This movie actually has less to do with karate than you might remember.
Yeah, no, it has very it has more a lot to do with trying
this
to get
is,
laid.
Yeah, this is a coming of age story. After he has arrived in California, he gets picked on the beach. He gets beaten up quite a bunch.
Yeah,
a bunch. He gets his ass.
Five dudes are kicking his ass all the time.
A lot, yeah.
But he was resilient as a motherfucker.
Oh, he is resilient and
tooth and nail.
Yeah, he comes back at him. Even like the first time when he gets knocked down and they're like, all right, whatever. Immediately tries to punch the guy in the face.
Yeah. And then the next day when he sees him in school, he fucking punches him in the face.
Yeah, yeah. Goes at him.
Badass move.
Just goes right at him. He tripped him on the soccer field, punch in the face.
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah. No, 100%. And yeah, the whole time he's smoozing up to Elizabeth Shue.
And doing a great job.
Doing a great fucking job.
Quirky,
he's got wit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paying for her food.
Yep. And he's aggressive.
Standing up for
he's
her.
Being aggressive, but not too aggressive. Just being like, hey, like fearless.
Very charming.
He's being fearless.
Fearless, which goes a long way.
Yeah.
Them titties, though, man.
Oh, my God.
So, especially for her being that hot.
Yeah.
Like, at that
she's
age.
She's clearly the hottest girl in school.
And when we find out later, she's super fucking rich.
She is
way
so
out
rich.
Of his league. And he's super confident. That goes a long fucking way.
We're going to have to talk about her parents, too, because they are pieces of shit.
Yeah.
But, so.
He should be everybody's hero in this fucking movie.
The only white girl in, like, any white girl in any of the 80s movies that had a butt.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, she had a solid butt.
Because, goddammit, 80s movies 80s
were butts
all
were pretty
about...
sad. I just got done watching Reform Schoolgirls. There's no butt. Yeah. There's a lot of cleavage and boobs. But
there
no
was
butt.
No butt. No,
there wasn't a lot of squats being done in the 80s. It was all shoulder pads.
It was
man.
All shoulders, yeah.
It was all about, that reason, was the thing people
why,
were
why
into.
Were shoulders a thing? I don't understand.
For some reason, in the 80s, if you were a chick, you're only as hot as how wide your shoulders are.
I guess, yeah. I guess ask.
What the fuck was that? It was weird, right?
If you're a younger person, then I guess ask somebody that was a teenager in the 80s why shoulders were more hot and attractive than booty.
Yeah. Or even boobs. I mean, big boobs were a big thing because breast implants were like
sure,
really
yeah,
coming
yeah.
into play.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was all shoulders and boobs.
Shoulders and boobs. It's all upper body. I don't know.
Elizabeth Shue, though.
Yeah. She had it all.
Yeah, she had it.
So introduced the maintenance man at Ralph Macchio's new apartment.
Yeah, one Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
Well, at first he's like, nah, I'll fix your sink whenever the fuck I want to fix your sink.
What? Damn right he will.
Yeah. Then, though, he fixes his bike. Because Ralph Macchio gets super mad because they fucked up his bike, so he throws it away.
I mean, he's like screaming in front of his fucking little workshop. Like,
yeah. Super loud. He has a good little breakdown.
Yeah.
He has a good little, like, this bike is stupid. I hate this fucking place. I want to go back to New Jersey, mom. And his mom is like,
what's wrong? Just tell me what's wrong. Yeah, yeah. Oh, nothing. No.
His mom's like, I'm buzzing pretty hard. I've been out all fucking day.
Yeah, so his mom clearly, we talked about this a lot during the movie. His mom is she's partying. Banging. She's banging.
There's a scene. It's perfect. This is a perfect personification of his relationship with his mom. There's a scene when they go to a restaurant and his mom is asking him about Elizabeth Shue and like how he's doing. Like, oh, you're making friends. You got a girl now. And he's like, yeah. And then she's like, oh, I got to go hang out with my friends. You fucking figure this out. And then she leaves him and he continues to talk to himself about Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's not a cry about fucking loneliness.
Right. Well, and even at the very beginning when he goes out that first night, she has no idea when he gets back. If he gets back, she sees him in the morning. Years old. And yeah, she's like, oh, what happened to your face? Because your face is fucked up.
Yeah. She's like, I don't even know when you came home.
Yeah.
Well, it's nothing, Ma.
Yeah. It's not that. I just like wearing sunglasses, Ma. It's
cool. It's California. It's sunny out.
It's a song, you know.
Yeah. Oh, sunglasses at night.
Terrible mom.
Or cheap sunglasses. Or any number of sunglass-related yeah. song. I can only think of two. I can think of two exactly two songs. Those
are
two
good songs.
Those are
pretty good.
Those are two good ones, songs.
Yeah. You don't need to go any further.
Yeah.
You wear sunglasses at night. It's fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, constantly getting beat up at school, but meets one Pat Morita, Mr. Yeah. Miyagi, who invites him in.
He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. Invites him in, shows him his bonsai trees, made everyone here want a bonsai tree.
Yeah, we all wanted a bonsai tree. Also, not weird. He's just an old man inviting him in.
Just an old man showing a young kid some ways to groom.
Yeah.
Ways to groom plants. Grooming plants.
But then he fixes his bike. And
not
then,
ball hairs.
Rabachu gets beat up hard.
Yeah.
And
well, because it's Halloween. So he has a little time with Elizabeth Shue there, and then yeah, pulls a little bit of a prank on old Johnny.
Yeah,
gets chased down by Johnny and all of his friends, which are all dressed identical. Super villain.
That's how
he's
henchman.
Yeah.
Yeah, henchman. Yeah, exactly.
They're 100% henchmen. They kick the shit out of him.
They knock him out.
Like he cannot stand, and they're picking him up to continuously beat him. They're gonna kill him. are going to kill this man.
That is a pretty cool thing to do, to pick up a guy to continue to hit him.
Yeah.
Can't stand up anymore. Oh, no. Get up. We still got more punches.
Yeah, we got more punches in us.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Karate Master, Pat Morita comes over the fence, kicks their ass. Which, I mean, he is an adult man and they are children. So yeah. It's also, not also, that
there's,
impressive.
There's six of them and he's like 60.
Oh, sure. But still.
Yeah. And then he wakes up and then Pat Morita's like, all right, we got to stop this. So he goes to the dojo that all these kids go to. And then he's like, no more picking on him.
Yeah. That's another. So can we talk about his accent?
Leave boy alone.
Yeah. Leave boy alone.
Yeah.
No teach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Pat again, Morita.
Very Yoda-ish.
Again, Pat Morita speaks perfect English.
Yeah. He doesn't have an accent.
Yeah.
But in this movie, really laying it on thick.
Really, really on thick. Kind of weird. But especially considering he is meant to have lived in the United States since before World War II.
Yeah.
It's a long time. Pretty thick. But then again, maybe after
he's also like alone in an apartment.
Yeah, exactly. It is 100% possible that after his wife and child died, he has not spoken to a single human being. So
he's like, fuck all these people.
Yeah.
He was just waiting for one young man to
pique
his interest.
One super scrawny.
Yeah. Scrawny. Yeah. He's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Little Florence Nightingale thing going on. I don't know.
Yeah.
So they go to the dojo.
And then that's when he's like, all right, tell you what. Like, leave him alone.
First of all, we meet their sensei, who we've seen once before, but their sensei, of course, also worked with Sylvester Stallone because Anyone who's anyone has worked with Sylvester Stallone.
Good old Sly.
Yeah, he's in Rocky, or he's in Rambo 2, if you didn't know. But he is the Cobra Kai sensei. Yeah,
you put it out. It's all about the chin with this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that little cleft.
Yeah, like, he's got the cleft chin.
That cleft chin. Yeah. And it's always like super like purposeful.
And he holds like his...
Yeah, he does the Bane hold.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you know the
always
Bane...
Always holding his shirt, yeah.
Holding the vest. He does the same thing with his gi.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
he's teaching his kids to fucking like kill.
Yeah, yeah. He is very serious about this. There's no... It's about beating the shit out of people until they are dead or unable to continue at the very least. Which, I mean, that's how you should teach people to fight. Yeah, I'm just going to say.
No mercy.
No mercy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's mercy's exactly. For the weak.
Yeah. Anyone who fights you is your enemy. Destroy them.
Fuck yeah.
And that's how I do in business. That's how I became the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Thank cool. you, Cobra Kai. Thank you, Sensei.
That's how I teach my nephews how to drive.
Yeah. Any other cars you see out there, they're your enemy. You kill them.
Yeah. Nobody will blame you for that, kid.
Nope.
Go for it. So then they set up this tournament thing where he's like, tell you what, we'll set up a fight one-on-one because your dudes are fighting him like 6-1. We'll set up a one-on-one fight. And then he's like, you say when and where. And he's like, this fucking tournament coming
up. Yeah, because there's a sign on the wall about a tournament coming up in December.
I feel like Mr. Miyagi's a little bit over his head on this one.
He's 100% over his head. He's, yeah. He doesn't know tournaments. He's never trained anyone to fight. Yeah. He has no idea what the rules are.
What's he trying to prove?
I think he's trying to... I don't think he's trying to prove anything.
He's trying to help
He's out? Just trying to be close to one young teenage boy.
Supple.
Yeah.
He's still just working on one. And supple. Yeah, you know what else is supple?
Our sponsors.
Our sponsors.
Best good transitions segue. In the business. Sponsor number one, where we got the movie.
People's Choice Video.
People's Choice Video. Valencia and Sixth.
All three of us have worked at People's Choice Video.
All three of us have at one point or another worked at People's Choice Video. It's the best video store in the world.
We miss you, Book.
You can buy, rent, sell, trade.
You could still rent Wallace's favorite, his picks there.
That's true. Wallace still has.
I only go in there like 3-4 months to change them out.
Yeah, just to change out the picks.
Like, what's going on, guys? I'm going to change this out. All right, see you later.
Let me change this. Yeah, exactly. You don't even rent anything. You know, just go in, change your picks, and fucking walk the fuck back out.
Yep.
Yeah, but People's Choice, man.
People's Choice Video. Check them out. Other sponsor, Beer Geek Bakery. It's Beer Week. Or it was Beer Week.
Yeah, actually a lot of
it. No, there's still beer going on. Just craft beer made into delicious pastries.
I'm so bummed I missed out on the 191 Tool thing.
Yeah. No, there's so many good events.
Oh, wait, what was it? 1911, right?
Yeah, 1912.
Yeah.
1912,
yeah. 1912,
yeah.
God, I love that beer.
Yeah, it's very good
they
beer.
They do have a good fucking... That's a good brewery.
Yeah, 1912, if you want to sponsor us, send us some beer.
Yeah, for the love of God.
We love your stuff. And definitely follow Beer Geek on Instagram and Facebook. Find out about all the amazing events because,
awesome.
I mean, what's better than delicious snacks made with the best of craft beer?
Also, go check out Book playing his band.
Yeah.
Which band do you want to promote? Which of your many bands?
All of them.
Pygmy Death Ray, obviously. So if you want to check out our music, pygmydeathray.bandcamp.com. You can download it for free. But if you throw some money towards us, we'll give you massive man hugs.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And they deserve it.
Yeah.
You guys rock it out.
And if you follow them on Facebook, they post up about their concerts and stuff around town.
Right now we're a little bit of hiatus. We're recording a new album. That's why I'm so busy. But
that's fucking cool.
But yeah, definitely check out their music on Bandcamp. And
you got some solo stuff working, right?
Yeah, but I think more or less, like if you guys go to Shay's Lounge, I got some artwork up there too. You want to check out.
That's right. You can commission pieces.
Yeah, man.
He's multifaceted, this guy.
So if you see like the badass low pan in Shay's Lounge, that's mine.
That is a really badass low pan.
Yeah, yeah. Good job. Go to
and if you look at it. If you listen to this show, one has to assume that you are down with some low pan.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
that's I think it's my number one.
Yeah. That's pretty untouchable.
Low pan.
And I got like two John Carpenter movies as like a number like my top five.
Top five movies, yeah.
It's definitely John, like Big Trouble in China and The Thing.
The Thing.
Big Trouble in Little China and The Thing are perfect movies. So
yeah, for sure. That's still my favorite horror movie is The Thing.
Yeah.
If anybody asks me, yeah.
I will let Kurt Russell touch my butthole. It'll happen.
It's just like raw, just dry
poke,
touch it.
Poke.
Okay, you did it.
You did it now.
Please stop. That crazy fucking Hateful Eight.
His Van Buren.
Facial hair,
Bone Tomahawk, giant fucking facial hair.
He's been rocking
hair.
That Van Buren. It looks good on him.
It does look really fucking good on him. Good job. Yeah, he's consistently looked great no matter what.
He's a handsome man.
Yeah, he is. He looks fucking awesome in Tombstone. Yeah. And throughout the ages, he is just an awesome
He adapts.
Dude.
He adapts. He's the Madonna of badass dudes. I don't know. Always constantly reinventing him.
Always looking great. Always fucking kicking ass.
Never always kicking ass. Giant pointy bras that he's wearing.
Yeah. Sex books and whatnot.
Sex
that he puts
books.
Out.
Sleeping with Dennis Rodman.
So yeah, follow. Go check out the Little Pen. That's really good.
Go check
that's
it really out. Did you post any pictures up on Instagram or anything?
Yeah, if you follow me on Instagram, just for Wallace Book. I usually post. Like I posted the Leatherface I did.
Nathan. That looked really fucking great.
I just found it and I was like, oh shit. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff I did. Freddy Krueger going.
Oh, Hogwarts.
The Hogwarts thing and
yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's still hanging up on the wall, man.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
So follow Wallace Book on Instagram and just find out about all the great stuff he's doing. Art, music. The guy's a fucking Renaissance man.
Yeah. It's a James Franco of Tucson.
Goddamn Renaissance man.
Motherfucker can do everything.
Yeah.
They sign up for the competition. And now Mr. Miyagi has to fucking train this scrawny little fucking bitch.
Yeah.
How to fight. And how does he do that? By not teaching him how to fight.
Exactly. He tricks him into training through menial labor. By that, I mean he has him paint his house and sand his floors and wash his cars. I mean, it's a really good deal for him.
Yeah, it is, actually. It works out pretty well.
He gets a 16-year-old fuck toy and his house gets cleaned.
It's like you just need to be wearing the girly shorts and no shirt the whole time.
He gives him presents. He also gives him
I do feel like there's a cut scene. There's a cut scene where he's washing the cars, and it's like that scene from Wild Things when Denise Richards is washing the cars.
Or Cool Hand Luke when that chick comes with the big boobs is just washing the car.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah. I was thinking more like Justin Long in Dodgeball when a trucker's watching.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's right.
There's a lot of examples. Also,
get right in there.
Was it One Night at McCool's with Liv Tyler?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the only movie Liv Tyler was ever hot in.
Oh, she's really hot in that movie, though.
I don't know.
See, Lord of the Rings.
Stealing Beauty.
She's pretty hot in Lord of the Rings.
I can't stand her in Lord of the Rings, man.
Dude, elf chicks? Come on.
I don't know how to do Elvish, but that was pretty close.
I don't care.
That's spot on.
Yeah.
I mean, don't know when she shows up at the end to marry Aragorn. She's pretty hot. It's pretty hot.
One of the 6,000 endings.
Yeah.
I feel like you could have put any hot chick in there. Yeah. We would have been like, yes, he's getting married now.
Yeah.
He's a king. Who's that? I have no idea.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does not matter.
The payoff of that scene is the you bow to no one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for real.
Which is fucking great. Or you kneel, I think is what he says. But either way, what a fucking scene.
Yeah.
Cry every time.
I feel bad for all the Mordorians that are lost.
All the poor orcs and goblins.
Yeah. No shit.
The giant spiders that are
all
killed.
The white people of Gondor has survived, but all the the colored people of Mordor is like, oh fuck you guys.
all the warriors
they're
and
just,
shit.
They just just want to be integrated.
Yeah,
but they're continually segregated. You know, it's a bummer, man.
And then after that, what do they do? Everybody hates them.
I mean, sometimes to save the shining white city, literally what it's called, you have to.
It's legitimately called shining white city.
You've got to stop the invading hordes from the east. It's a thing. You got to do it.
Anybody that's darker than you got to kill them. They use war paint. You got to kill them, man. Like you can't.
Because like the warring tribes.
Look, what are you gonna? You want orcs marrying your daughters?
All natives, then they all get killed too.
Yeah, you really want a world where orcs are marrying your daughters? Come on now.
You don't want that. Oh my god. I had never thought of that before. Poor orcs. Now I feel bad for them.
I do too.
The whole time.
And like the blackest, like the big freaking like
dark. The Uruk-hai?
Like Wesley Kai ones. Like Wesley Snipe ones. Man, oh.
Yeah.
Poor bastards.
They get the worst. Everybody.
But they were the most badass.
They were definitely the most badass.
Aragorn like stabs one and he like,
pulls the sword
you,
into
dude.
Him. Yeah. And then he has to cut off his head. It's pretty dope. Yeah. And the fact that they got a decapitation in a PG-13 movie. fucking awesome.
Yeah. No, there was just so much shit going on. Nobody saw like the decapitation part.
I guess not. Late. Yeah. Yeah. God, let's just talk about Lord of the Rings for this. I love that movie so much.
I like this idea of like the war torn orc villages that are like left behind because, you know, fucking hobbits.
And then what are they going to do? It just turns into orc on orc crime and the drug problem.
It's just the wrong side of the fucking orc tracks.
And then what are orc kids supposed to do? They're just in that environment. They're drafted into the gangs as soon as they're old enough to hold a sword.
He's got orc high fever. Yeah.
Orcs killing orcs, man.
Yeah.
But when you go back to like Karate Kid, like there's only the one black dude.
Oh, and all they do is beat him up.
They just beat him up the whole time. Like, dude, come on.
Not the whole time. That's one scene.
Yeah, but clearly.
The only scene he's only in. Scene,
yeah. There's only like one other scene. And then what was the chubby guy?
That's true. The chubby guy.
And the one chubby guy in the whole movie.
Ass beat.
Gets his ass beat.
Quick.
He's not even in like.
Doesn't get a line.
He's not in the training.
No.
No. He just shows up to get his ass beat later on.
Yeah. He's just like. Does
Where was he during training? Yeah. Maybe that's why he got his ass beat. He wasn't there at the fucking gym.
They put in the shitty fucking chubby guy who cannot fight over the black guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
That's how it works.
Clear cut.
Fuck this movie, man.
I don't like this anti-chubby, anti-black message that fucking Karate Kid put forward.
And also that all Asian guys have super strong accents and probably fought in World War II. I don't appreciate that.
Did. At the very least, they all know karate.
Yeah, they all know karate. Yeah. That old guy that repairs the sinks in your apartment building.
He knows karate.
He's so good at karate.
You bug him enough.
He'll My God, he's good karate. At karate.
What's the Wongs, right? In Wonders?
Yeah.
Like 25 of them, they're all last name Wong and they all know karate.
Of course.
Yeah. Clearly.
Well, but we're not going to fuck with them.
So. Yeah, no, you can't fuck with the Wongs, man.
Can't fuck with them.
They've been there the whole time. They don't even pick a side until the fight is happening. Yeah. Who does that?
They just walk in, fucking.
Yeah, they wait till the fight is halfway through and then they go in and just start fighting dudes.
So he starts training him with karate. And basically he's
karate.
That's not racist, that's just how it's said.
Yeah.
And so he's teaching him all these kind of he's training up his muscles. He's teaching him wax on, wax off. Obviously everyone knows that shit. Wax on, wax off. He's teaching him all the ways to like block kicks and punches and all that shit. And teaching him balance and just taking him under his wing, basically making him into a surrogate son / sex slave.
Yeah.
And
being his parent, because his mom is no
exactly. I mean, he had to have a parent somewhere. Yeah. And if a 6-year-old Japanese guy that is going to like give you new clothes and make you strip in front of him isn't your new dad, I don't know who is.
Yeah.
Tony Soprano's not around.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tony Soprano's not there, so you gotta do what you can. Shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's busy trying to duck the FBI. What's Tony Soprano going to do?
Nothing. That's that's what you have an old Japanese father.
That's right.
Okay, Dad.
Father Sensei.
Yeah.
So.
He teaches him all this shit, but then he's like, he gives him the robe. He, it's his birthday. He makes him a cake.
That's right.
Which is, again, a little bit inappropriate.
Gives him a gi.
Yeah, gives him the gi. And then gives him a fucking car.
That's right.
Which
not just any car, a super expensive classic car.
Yeah, what do you say? Like, it's like an old fucking.
He has known this
47
kid.
47 Dodge or some shit.
Yeah, he has known this kid for 2 months. He just gave him like a $30,000 car
or more.
Yeah, I mean, adjusted for inflation, that's a $48 billion car.
Yeah,
they're all original.
No, yeah,
nothing wrong with it.
Oh, and he already waxed the fuck out of it.
But yeah, it's clean. It's
not
beautiful.
Related to the movie, but the second movie, he fucks it up. Like,
that's
fucking
right.
Car doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And Miyagi goes in there and just like turns something and then just like
works. He's got magic hands,
what
which
a
you see.
Piece of shit.
You see several times.
Fucking Daniel
he's a piece of
Daniel?
Shit. Daniel's a piece of shit. Let's all agree with that.
We also did like come to the conclusion that once he gets a car, he doesn't need the karate anymore.
No, he's getting laid because he has a car.
He has a car now. No, he's better than the other guys because they have a shitty car and motorcycles.
Yeah.
But he's got a badass fucking car and he could just
And Elizabeth Shue already likes him. So Elizabeth Shue's super rich.
Yeah.
The first time he goes on a date with her, his mom drives him, which already kind of lame.
Yeah.
And they had to push the car.
They had to push the car because it's like a beat down station wagon. It's super lame. Elizabeth Shue, super rich. Her parents are there, very posh. They're wearing like the tennis outfits.
They have that like funny like way of talking.
Yeah,
like,
they have. Then they're very. As soon as they find out that he's from the wrong side of the tracks, they're very disapproving.
Yes,
he might as well be an Uruk-hai for all they care.
Yeah, she might as well be dating an Uruk.
Exactly. And then there's a scene later, and this is where. So up to that point, you're like, all right, well, you know, the parents, they're typical rich people, whatever. But then there's a scene later where they're at a rich people party, and Johnny, who, again, still wants to get back with Elizabeth Shue for obvious reasons.
He's obviously kind of rich, too.
Yeah, he's obviously rich, too. He literally, like, grabs her. She wants to leave dancing. He forces her to keep dancing with her, then starts, like, just getting all up on her.
Yeah, because Daniel is watching, and he sees Daniel watching, so he force kisses her.
And then the parents
are right there.
She pushes him off him. Like, punches him, and the parents are just, like, concerned for him.
Yeah.
You just saw your daughter get molested.
Marriage material, man. It doesn't matter.
My God.
Blue Bloods.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
The parents in this movie are fucking terrible.
Every parent... Yeah. That's why you need a Pat Morita, because every other parent in this movie is fucking garbage.
Yeah. That's also why one of the reasons why I love this movie so much.
Also, the teachers and the people that run the karate tournament, which we're going to get to in a minute, garbage people.
Yeah. They have no regard for the safety of one young Ralph Macchio.
Yeah. They're going to get that boy killed. Yeah. Then they're going to have a lawsuit on their hand. And then his mom is finally going to be rich and afford a nice new vehicle that doesn't have to be pushed.
So he gets a car. He bangs Elizabeth Shue. I mean, he makes out with her pretty hard.
Yeah, that was nice. That was some crazy tongue action.
Yeah, that was good on him, man.
Yeah,
good on him.
Yeah.
I was very impressed. He went full mouth open.
And oh, yeah.
She
yeah.
took it. Yeah. It sounded creepier than I meant it to sound.
No,
but she took it.
Yeah, they were both of legal age.
Yeah, they were both like
in real life. 20s, they're both in their 20s. Yeah. They're both like 21, 22.
And then after that, he still decides to fight. They show up to the tournament. Pat Morita has no idea how a fucking tournament works.
Yes, he steals a black belt, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
and then cool. They go in and it's like, all right, so what do I need to do? It's like, I don't know. I've never done this before. Fuck if I know.
First time me.
Exactly. Yeah. And there is a funny line, too, where he's like, well, I thought you fought before. He's like, for life, not points.
Yeah.
Because this motherfucker was in World War II killing people.
Yeah. He was shooting motherfuckers.
Which then led me to believe that the next scene was going to be, all right, here's what you do. And then we would just cut to Daniel's son with a fucking...
Like bayonet.
Just stabbing people in the neck.
That's what bonsai means.
Yeah, exactly. Just fucking Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah, exactly. Just taking his ceremonial katana and cutting people's heads off.
Yeah, because that's all he knows is fucking war.
All he knows is killing.
Yeah.
Then Daniel LaRusso gets in the middle of the ring and gets a sword and cuts his stomach open.
I mean, again, Miyagi-sensei, he has got a fucking, like, he's got medals. He was a fucking war hero. This motherfucker, you don't get to be a war hero without killing some motherfuckers.
Yeah, he has like a Purple Heart or something. Like that one medal that he holds, that star, it's a star, right?
Yeah,
it's like a really high.
It's something. Yeah, yeah, we don't, none of us know shit about shit.
We're not in the military. Yeah. No, fuck that.
But yeah, he was obviously like a fucking badass that fought for America.
And somehow, through the grace of God... Fucking Ralph Macchio still wins all the fucking tournaments.
And the other thing he does is he's jittery as fuck, despite the fact that everything he's being taught is about, like, being smooth and being calm and being collected and blocking. He's jumping around like he's, like, on coke.
It's like a Mexican fucking jumping bean. Jumping bean.
Francisco can say that. He's Mexican.
True again. I mean, anybody can say Mexican jumping bean.
Nope.
Just me.
It's 2018, man.
Those are not a thing. Where were those a thing? Those are things like in Looney Tunes time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are never a thing after that.
No.
Or like the flea circus and shit like that.
Yeah, the flea circus. Yeah. I forgot all about that shit. What the fuck was a flea circus?
It's a circus with fleas. What do you think?
You got trained fleas.
It's like an ant farm, but with fleas.
They were just like loose fleas. They were just letting fleas loose out into audiences.
I mean, there was a big flea problem after the church just came to town every single time.
This is like Dust Bowl shit,
and nobody
right?
caught on. Yeah. I don't understand. Every year the flea circus comes in, and then right afterwards for the next month, we have an epidemic of fleas. Should we stop the flea circus? No, the kids need entertainment.
Yeah. Let's all get together. It's our yearly tradition.
Yeah. We can't. I mean, look at how miserable the kids are. They are literally eating mud. We've got to do something for them.
Making mud pies.
Yeah.
Bringing in the mud harvest.
So we've got to do something for them. So he eventually makes his way to the semifinals.
And we get that whole, like, take him out.
Yeah. So exactly. Our bad guy.
What's his name again? The bad guy. Thomas. Right?
The white dude?
Yeah.
the white dude that runs the dojo?
Yeah, the Cobra Kai sensei. We'll look him up real quick.
It's a rowdy, like, Reese or some shit, right?
Yeah. So he tells the other dude, like, hey, take him out. Take him out of commission. And the other dude's like, no, I can take him. Clearly, he cannot take him. Ron Macho's just kicking ass left and right.
It's Kreese is his name.
Kreese. Oh, it's close.
That was, yeah, that was pretty good.
So, yeah, he tells him, take him out. Cool name. So, yeah. He does a jump kick to his knee, which, despite the fact that they've been kicking each other nonstop, disqualification.
Yeah, yeah. I'm confused.
Yeah. So
it was a really cool move. It was probably the coolest, like, nearly the...
The
like,
coolest kick.
It was one of the best, coolest, yeah.
Because there was that one, the only Asian guy...
Yeah, the only in the tournament guy,
who
yeah.
did that... Those three windmill kicks
yeah,
in
yeah,
a
that
row.
Was pretty good.
And
I was
like, that was pretty awesome. And the way they take him down is cool, too. Like, he goes up halfway through the kick. He jumps up and kicks him in the back of the head.
Does a jump kick, and yeah. the other dude kicks him down.
Kicks yeah, him down yeah. through and the head.
That was a rat.
That was very good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And also, he wins that. Yeah. Like, how do you win kicking somebody in the back of the head? But not kicking somebody
not
in the
someone
fucking
in the knee.
Knee.
Exactly. You would think, right?
Yeah. No, the point system for this fucking tournament, the point system for this tournament is ridiculous. It makes yeah. no sense.
So throughout it's the like, movie, then...
You looked at him wrong. You don't get a point.
Exactly.
Hey, like, warning, buddy. Warning.
So we get to a point. I mean, we're going to jump ahead. But we get to a point where Johnny kicks Ralph Macchio... He punches him in the face. That does not count as a point. That, in fact, counts as a warning.
Yeah, they're like, no.
The very next thing, Ralph Macchio kicks him in the face, wins the tournament.
Yeah.
That's so
makes no fucking sense.
Yeah,
none of the points. None of the point system.
None of the it's
there is no
this
point
is,
system.
This is who li- whose line is it anyways with karate. None yeah. of the points matter, and it's all made up.
Yeah, none of
so after this, the guy's disqualified. Ralph Macchio cannot continue because obviously his knee is fucked up. But then he decides, no, I'm still going to fight. And for some reason, this incredibly,
I think we also get the closest that we are going to see. To like Pat Morita giving him a hand job because he's like
he warms up those hands. Yeah.
He's like, fix my leg, and he's like, all right, close your eyes, close your eyes,
keep your eyes closed.
And he starts like rubbing his hands together, and then we cut away from that. Yeah. It's like, what did he do to him? Well, he did though.
I mean, when we were kids, we didn't know what was happening.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Now
but we wanted to know.
Yeah. Yeah. But now we know. He was warming up those hands for a reason.
Yeah, and then he gives him the power. Of a very good orgasm.
Yeah. And when he comes out, here's the thing though. When he comes out, he is limping. He can barely stand. And yet the people running this karate tournament are like, hey, this teenage boy that is in our care who can't walk wants to continue the fight. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Get in there, buddy.
Yeah. And then throughout the fight, he continuously gets kicked right in the knee.
Yeah. Johnny continues to hit him in the knee. And again... No points awarded or taken away.
Well, Kreese said sweep the leg.
He said sweep the leg, yeah. Johnny.
That's true. He does. That's and okay. That's
does he sweep the leg?
Iconic line.
Yeah.
Sweep the leg. Also, we talked about this before. Yeah. There's that awesome music video called Sweep the Leg.
Yeah.
From like 10 years ago that has, it's all the Cobra Kai dudes trying to be cool again. Ralph Macchio shows up at the end. But
it's funny because the guy that plays Tommy, he's like bald and weird looking.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's weird looking in this too. But
Yeah. You know. I just want to punch him in the face.
He's just a dick.
So yeah, the points make no sense in this tournament, and also the people running this tournament should be in jail.
Yeah,
like this is very, very. This wouldn't happen. This is definitely why you know it's an '80s movie because, and I've never seen the remake, and I don't know how they handle this, but there's no way in 2018 they let this fight continue.
Yeah, they let him like, no, go ahead with your fucked up knee.
There is there, buddy. No
you
way.
You got the will. Yeah. He's got the heart.
He's got the heart. He's got the heart of a champion.
He's got
one
the
might
glow.
Think.
Yeah, he's got the glow. He's got the song.
Exactly. He's the best around.
Yeah, that's where the fucking
nothing's ever going to keep him down.
You guys
clearly.
Know this from a shitload of parodies.
If one might almost say, he has the eye of the tiger.
Yeah, almost.
Almost.
Yeah. Don't get it twisted. Almost.
Almost. Almost. Almost. So he wins the fight doing the crane kick, which is a totally ridiculous nonsense
again,
move that
again,
every single children.
Every one of us.
Every single child from 1984 to, I'm going to say, 1996?
Yeah, probably.
Has tried to do. Yeah. Tried to do, yeah.
Yeah, it is a stupid, fake, made-up kick where you just throw your arms up fancy and then jump up and kick somebody in the face.
Yeah. And again, for some reason, that scores a point even when punching in the face does not.
No. Yeah. No, but you win. And then we cut to Pat Morita being like, yes.
And then just credits.
Good job. Good job on that, too.
Yeah.
We don't even see any more of that. Yeah, exactly.
How about, though, if right after that they just cut to... Elizabeth Shue and Ralph Macchio, just full penetration. Hard, full hard, X-rated sex.
That yellow car just
Just a lot of yellow car movement.
Yeah. Just, oh.
Yeah, but the second movie starts off right where the first one ends.
Yeah, it does, right? Because it's immediately after that.
Because, like, yeah, Kreese tries to...
He does an awesome thing when he tries to punch him, which is fucking great. And seeing this again, I could have sworn that it was in this movie.
Yeah, I was really surprised they didn't fight. I could have sworn as well that they fought at some point in this movie.
But you're right. Yeah, like
yeah, starts right this because he punches through the two windows, the two windshields. And
yeah.
Pepperita just dodges him like a fucking badass.
That's what it is. He's like,
yeah, but we're talking about it later.
Yeah.
But that's Karate Kid Part 2.
Yeah.
Part 2, which I believe we're going to talk about later.
It made more money in this one.
Yeah, I think it did.
Really?
Yeah. Pretty sure.
Yeah, no, I think when I was a kid, I saw that movie in the theater.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you remember where you were?
Yeah, Gallup El Moro Theater.
Where's that at?
Gallup,
New Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Wow. New Mexico. Shout out.
It was only like where I grew up. That was the only theater close by. There was another one in Winter Rock. I don't remember what it's called, but the only movie I ever saw there was Three Amigos.
Oh, good choice. What a good good movie.
I went in there by myself, too. It was like...
You made a right choice.
Yeah.
Back when like movie theaters were super fucking uncomfortable, those chairs were fucking terrible.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but they had those like dots on wax paper. I just bought a bunch of those.
Although, back in the day though,
that was fucking weird. I forgot about those. They're just
like sugar dots, and like you have to pull them out. Most of the time, you have the wax paper still on them.
They just like dripped them on wax paper. It's fucking weird.
But what we gained in chair comfortness, we lost in real butter on the popcorn.
That's true.
So
there's just chemicals now.
Yeah, that real butter popcorn back in the day.
I don't know, man. Those fancy seats and those rad nachos at Roadhouse, dude.
Oh yeah, it's not bad. And the fact that there's now beer and stuff. Yeah, it's good.
I also like the seasoning. The
seasoning's all right.
Nacho cheese seasoning on my popcorn. That's cool.
So my cool observation about Karate Kid is it's one of the first. I want to say the first, if not, that was it's a karate movie that kids could watch, because before then...
That's true, they were mostly R-rated.
Mostly R-rated, yeah. Yeah. Enter the Dragon had, like, drugs and
tits. Sure,
and
sure, tits.
Lots and lots of tits. And what else was there after that? The Last Dragon was rated R.
Yeah,
right. Just everything, but we had that, and then it started... You know,
that's true.
Three Ninjas after that.
And American Ninja and all that shit. Yeah.
And then we got Jackie Chan and stuff.
Yeah, once they finally brought his movies over. Yeah,
that was like early 90s.
That was early 90s, That took a while before Jackie Chan really hit here. Unless you were like super Rumble like underground. Yeah, Rumble of the Bronx was the first one I ever saw.
That was it, man.
It's like, holy shit.
Yeah, that movie fucking blew my mind.
Yeah, for real. That's true. That's a very good point. Before that, there was not a lot of... That was the one that you could learn about karate. And
there was like some old like Shaw Brothers stuff that they brought over like really badly.
But Bruce Lee, like he was up there. Like I would watch those movies with my uncle.
Yeah.
And we just like, well, we got to fast forward the boob part.
Yeah.
But then we'll just go back to the, you know.
Yeah, the badass fights.
As a kid, like the old like Shaw Brothers and shit, that shit was boring to me as a kid because it was so much fucking setup.
Yeah.
And
for one fight.
Really, really fast.
Yeah.
Over
now, I really appreciate those fast fights. But back then, they were boring to me.
Yeah, you wanted more action.
You're right. It was all about Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Until Karate Kid.
We're running pretty late, but we've got to get to how to fix this movie.
Or how to make it better.
Yes.
How to make it better.
How do we make Karate Kid better? We already got Bill Conti.
Yeah.
We already got the director. Why was the leader of Cobra Kai not Sylvester Stallone?
It's true. Not a lot of fucking money, that's why.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
You could pay that motherfucker a ton of money.
Also, why did Pat Morita not kill like five of those children?
I would say that's how I would make it better.
Like, just Pat murder? Morita just
kills a lot of people in it.
Yeah.
Like he goes.
Do you make the child rape? Well, it's rape. It's statutory rape. Do you make that explicit? Do you make that explicit in this new version?
That would not fix this movie. If anything, it would make it worse. I would say if Pat Morita was also a kooky old scientist that has a time machine.
Oh, now you're talking.
Yeah. No.
Do we cast Christopher Lloyd in Asian face to play this character?
Yeah. And is it still Elizabeth Shue?
Good point.
Yeah. I feel like we've doubled down on Elizabeth Shue.
We have doubled down Elizabeth Shue action.
Fucking Phoebe Cates or whatever the fuck.
What's weird too is I always, as a kid, I would always get Elizabeth Shue and Leia Thompson mixed up.
Well, because now it makes, just because they're kind of similar-ish.
They're both super cute and whatever. Yeah. But now it makes me think like Marty had some shit going on. Yeah. Like Marty had some complexes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really, like they're very similar movies in that, you know, like.
Sure.
Is it old man?
Old man taking a young guy, teaching him how to be an adult, sort of giving him a car, and one is a DeLorean and one is a badass like Dodge.
Yeah.
Convertible. They both get laid with. They both sleep with. They both sleep with Elizabeth Shue.
Back to the Future was a Toyota.
Are you serious?
Wanted that 4x4 Toyota.
Yeah.
No, truck. But I'm talking about the DeLorean. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. It was.
He basically gave him the DeLorean. He has the DeLorean throughout most of those three movies.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Fucking old scientist dude.
Yeah.
It's still the 4x4 Toyota.
Yeah, instead of time travel.
I'm fighting it. Because yeah, yeah. That's the Toyota that he was supposed to race and like fuck up his hand and then can't play guitar. Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
It's Flea,
which
right?
wouldn't have mattered because he doesn't become a professional guitar player.
Yeah, he never becomes a rock star.
Yeah, he never becomes a rock star.
Although, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we don't know his future at the end.
That's true. I guess once he changes the future, we don't know what happens. We don't know what So maybe anyway, maybe he breaks up with Elizabeth Shue. She's still in high school. She moves to L.A., ends up dating Ralph Macchio.
All of them connected.
All of
them connected.
Everything connects.
So we agree then we make this movie better by making it Back to the Future.
But with karate.
But with karate. Back to the Future with karate.
Which, Back to the Future with karate, literally awesome. The best movie ever made.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Michael J. Fox had to fight Biff in karate every movie.
I mean, Jean-Claude Van Damme has to be Pat Morita.
Oh, that's good too.
Yeah. Instead of Cooper Lloyd, yeah. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going with this.
Jean-Claude, yeah.
Apparently from what I was reading, Toshiro Mifune was up for the part.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Toshiro Mifune, if you're not aware, big fucking Japanese. Legend. Yeah, legendary Japanese star. Worked with Kurosawa a bunch and Seven Samurais, all that shit.
Daddy was too serious.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Yeah.
Pat Morita, a fucking stand-up comedian.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he does bring the right amount of fucking comedy.
Yeah, he does, for sure, for sure. He's, again, in that classic... We talked about Yoda while watching the movie and earlier in the podcast, but that's, I mean, it's hearkening back to the classic, like, Kung Fu Master.
Yeah.
Which was always kind of a little kooky. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, all this kookiness...
Pai Mei and all that shit.
All this kookiness, turns out, it was for a reason.
Drunken Master and all that.
Yeah, for a reason. This whole time, I thought he was just fucking with me, actually teaching me how to be a man.
Aww.
Yeah, because I didn't have a father. Because Tony Soprano locked up.
Still a pretty cool movie.
Doing time.
Yeah. Final thoughts.
That's the end of the show. Karate Kid's great. Watch it.
Yeah. What do we got coming up? Oh, Back to School.
Back to School. Rodney Dangerfield, one of my all-time favorite people,
and also the kid from Christine.
Yeah, yeah, and
that's his only other movie, right?
He was in something else. It's Christine, Back to School. But those are the ones I remember. But
yeah, those are the important ones.
Yeah, those are the important ones.
So we'll be back next week with that movie. Also dropping, we're going to start dropping mini episodes for the next few weeks and maybe going forward on both YouTube and on this very channel that you're watching or you're listening to this.
If you have a problem sitting through an hour and a half of us talking, you assholes. But we will give you 5 minutes.
More than that, what we're really asking is people is share these short clips, share them with all your friends, because we know an hour is a lot to listen to. So get people involved with just these short clips. They're gonna love them. They're gonna want to listen to more, and we're gonna appreciate all your help. And maybe next time that we see you, we'll take our hands and rub them together real warm. And put them on your hurt knee or, you know, wherever.
Whatever it takes for you to be able to fight that dude.
Yeah. Whatever it takes for you to, you know, fight Johnny.
Yeah.
And
thanks for joining us, Book.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
we're Wallace Book, follow him. Follow Pygmy Death Ray.
Pygmy Death Ray on Facebook, Instagram, Bandcamp.
Thanks, man.
We'll have to have you back, dude.
Listen to some jams.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
We're all sweaty now. We're all sweaty together.
Yeah.
We're all just hot and sweaty. The air has
been on for a while, so we should probably stop this now.
Yep.
It's true.
Until next week,
I'm E.G. Sites.
I'm Francis Landine.
Wallace Book.
Black Western Nostalgia. Good night and good journey.
We love you.